Hi, I'm Renee Evans, co-senior leader of Bethel Austin. Make sure that you like and subscribe to our weekly sermons so that you don't miss what is happening here at Bethel Austin. We pray that this message inspires and encourages you. And most of all, we pray that you would have an encounter with the living God today.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Put your hands out in front of you. If you're new here, welcome and good luck. Just put your hands out in front of you as if you're ready to receive. Just close your eyes. Yes, Lord. I was once asked, why do I get up and say, Holy Spirit, come, when he's already been here? It's because there's never an end to the measure of God that we can receive. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've got all you can handle. There's more. There's more. So, Father, we just ask you to come. Holy Spirit, come. If this right here is all we do, it's enough. Just ask him to come. Become aware of his presence. Thank you, Father. God, we thank you for being present. We thank you for being in the room. God, we thank you that you're not just someone that we worship towards, or you're not someone we just pray towards, God, that we reside with you, that you desire to be with us, and you're here. God, I pray that every person today would receive exactly what they need, exactly what their hearts desire. But God, more than anything, I pray that we glorify you today and you get your heart's desire. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may run around the room. You can jump up and down, whatever you want to do. I'm good with all of it. Whoo! It's been a while since I've been here. I like this. How many of you were here last weekend with Sammy Robinson? Wow. Only about a fifth of the room. You need to go watch those services. There was something so powerful this last weekend. I feel like when Sammy was here, for me personally, two things happened. The prophetic was kind of next level. I don't know how many of you were here, but when he started, like, I'm walking into somebody's room, there's a dresser, there's a bed, I was like, okay, this is getting a little crazy. But it also, to me, it felt like there was this invitation for more of the impossibilities of God. Like, it made me think, God, we sometimes have scratched the surface and think we've arrived. And I feel like it was an invitation for more, for the most wild, radical, mind-blowing, simple things of God. Am I the only one? Got about 12 of you excited. This is good. All I need is one. That's it. So one of the things that Sammy said, and it's funny, I've had this message. Now, many of you that have seen me up here before, you know that usually my message changes from my seat to the podium. But I've had this message stirring on me for several months, actually. It's a message I wanted to preach about a year and a half ago, and it was one of those days that didn't happen. But for a few months, it's been stirring. And when Sammy was up here, he said something one day so many times. Have you ever, you know you want to do something and you hear something and it makes you second guess yourself? About five of you. The rest of you are just sure in every thought you have. And I thought, no, you know what? This is actually confirmation of what I need to speak on. Sammy, so many times he kept saying, yes. You just have to say yes. Like God says, yes, that has to be your answer. How many of you remember that? It's like, no matter what he's asking, what's your answer? Yes. When God said something, he responded yes. But Matthew 5:37 doesn't just say, let your yes be yes, and then that's it. It also says, let your no be no. See, our yes gives permission to say no, and our no gives power to our yes. And I really feel like we are about to step into something. There is something coming, individually, corporately, that if we don't actually have the authority to say no to things, our yes will be diluted. And the power of your no needs to be exercised. Because the request of God for our yes is going to be more than we've known in the past. See, he believes in you more than you do. And he's going to ask more of you than you think you can handle. Mostly because you're so drowned in all of your yeses, you don't know how to say yes to another thing. And a lot of us are saying yes to good things. I'm skipping all around my message already. I'm like, but that's okay. To be able to do this, we need discipline and self-control. Two of our favorite words in life. It's the ability to choose what we want for the future instead of what we want right now. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Come on, let's do this like we're in school or something. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and... You know, I remember somebody told me, oh, it's probably at the end because it's not as important. I think it's at the end because if you don't have it, you don't actually know how to enjoy the others. It's the exclamation point on his statement there. If you don't know how to have self-control, how are you going to actually walk in those other things? We're about to step into a place where we have to be wise with our yes and our no. How many of you were here on New Year's Eve? Even less than were here last weekend. Are all of you new? Welcome. This is amazing. I feel like in a prophetic culture like ours, and even just as an individual, we sometimes will have a word come, and it's amazing in the moment, and then next week we're waiting for the next thing. We don't actually nurture the word. We don't steward it. We don't go back and revisit it. And it's not all the time. Sometimes we have those powerful words that we really cultivate. But I feel like in this culture and just the way there's such an open atmosphere of the prophetic that we sometimes skip past a lot of the words that are given. And New Year's Eve was actually a very significant time for this house and the people of this house, this city, and what God is doing. And I just want to highlight a couple of the words that I think are really going to tie in to what I'm sharing on. Bethany Hicks, she gave a word. And if you don't know this, especially for since 90% of you are new, you can go on our website. And in our website, there's actually a space for prophetic words. And all of the prophetic words from New Year's Eve are on there. The whole audio, and then there's transcripts of part of the words. I would encourage, if you are a part of this house or a living, breathing Christian, you should go on and read those. And actually refresh your spirit with what God was saying. And actually learn, okay, God, if this is what you're saying, what am I going to say no to? Because I want to say yes to all of this. Bethany's word is, what I'm saying is that there's an accelerated grace for you right now. That you are wise and strategic. That if you are wise and strategic, you will step into your time of opportunity, grab hold of the grace to build and accelerate in certain areas because it's going to be an ease to it that you didn't have in the last season. How many can say amen to that? You know, everybody had such an easy last season. Easier would be better. Along with this accelerated grace to build, I heard that some people in here are saying things like, well, I did that before. I tried to start that thing. I tried to plant that thing. Or I tried to do that family. Or I tried to start the thing before and it just didn't work. It was too hard and it failed. She said, I feel like the Lord is saying it was the right idea, but the wrong season. But now it's the right season. One of the things that happens when we sometimes get a prophetic word is we're like, okay, go. And you feel like you're alone in the desert and it's just not working. Don't mistake God's presence for his timing. When the word of God comes, don't think that it's a now word all the time. It may be a seed that needs to be germinated so that in the future it can actually blossom into the fruitful thing it was designed to be. Chris Faladin, his word, part of his word. Chris said that he felt like the beginning of this year was like halftime in a football game. I thought that was such a now word for us, that this last season had felt like something, but it was, he said, it's not a timeout, it's more like halftime. And the thing that I got out of that is that a timeout is chosen by the coach, by you. You get to choose the timeout. Halftime is already planned. God actually planned a season of halftime, a rest season, for us to regroup. And he said, we're coming out of halftime. We need to evaluate our lives personally and then look, how do we win this game? Yeah. You know, how many of you know what football is? And I'm talking American football. I'm just trying to see how many arms work. Most of your arms don't work today. How many of you know what air is? Most of you. This is good. When we come out of halftime, when a team goes into halftime, they don't go into halftime to just take a break, go to the bathroom, get some water, and then go back out and do the same thing. They go to regroup. What's working? What's not? What are we going to change? How are we going to actually win in this next half? How are we going to show up? That is a good word. Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Sometimes, we sometimes take pride and find our identity in always saying yes and being there for everyone. See, part of the hard part about this message is that I'm going to challenge you to say no to some people. Not just to some things, but to some people. And if you want to know who the biggest person you need to say no to is, look in your chair. We end up losing our ability to say no without guilt, and then our yes becomes diluted and actually overwhelming. And we actually lose our identity and become people pleasers, which ends up giving other people power over our lives. When you are afraid to say no, then there is control that you no longer carry. Galatians 4. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God, heir of God through Christ. See, slaves have to say yes. Sons choose to say yes or no out of relationship. Here's just some things that I was thinking, reasons for saying yes when you really mean no. You feel guilty. You feel obligated. You're afraid of what people will think of you. You're afraid of disappointing people or being rejected or have abandonment. You say yes sometimes because it's just habit. You sometimes think, well, no one else is going to do it. You want people to think that you're a good person or a nice person. This is a big one. You don't want to miss out on things. Fear of missing out, FOMO, it's real. You know, there's a quote that says, when you say yes to others, make sure you're not saying no to yourself. Saying no allows us to set up boundaries. Ask yourself, when saying yes, does it prevent you from focusing on something that's more important? And will saying yes make me more tired or burnt out? If none of you are listening, it's okay. I'm preaching to myself because I am a yes man at times. Not because I'm honestly, most of you that know me, I'm not too worried about pleasing others as much as I think I can handle it all. I actually created an identity saying if I'm not busy, I'm not actually productive. There is a slight bit of truth in that. I actually thrive in a little bit of busyness, but when it becomes the standard that I live by, I'm missing out on the ability to say no when I need to. See, no doesn't have to be negative. In fact, it's very freeing. By saying no to one thing, you're able to say yes to something else. And God wants all of you, not just the leftovers. I want to be able to say no so that my yes is worthy of his yes. You guys okay? I was waiting to see how many would say no just because I'm preaching on no. And there were a few of you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. See, that's honestly, it's funny that that happened like that, but that's honestly how we live our lives. We react. It's almost like a natural reaction to saying yes. And we sometimes think that that's our obligation as a Christian. Because there's focused things where people say, whom shall I send? Here I am. Well, when you say here I am to everything, you're actually not there. There's a piece of you that's available. How many of you know that we all have heard this or said this? It's like, I'm spread so thin, everything's getting like 20% of me. Problem is when you got 10 things going on, 20% doesn't add up. Now, does that mean you're only allowed to do one thing ever? Like breathe in, open your eyes, breathe out, take a step. No, we can multitask. We can do multiple things, but choosing your yes and using your no is actually going to give you authority in the areas of your life that God's calling you to. And this is a fun one. Your yes isn't usually found in your comfort zone. It's not usually found in your normal. It's not usually found in your safety. See, we often do, this is how we live our lives a lot of times. Let me say I live my life a lot of times. That way I don't put it on any of you. That way you guys can all point at me and say, that's how he lives. Often I do what I want, and I'm just trying to make sure that there's, you know, no biblical command that I'm actually violating. It's like I'm trying to figure out what God would tolerate rather than what he desires. See, I bet in some ways we're afraid to ask what he really desires. Because ignorance is better than disobedience. If I don't know what he wants, I'm not disobeying him. So if I don't ask, and I don't know, I'm good. You're laughing because you heard how silly that sounds. And what he's desiring from us may be to say no to things or people. Saying no isn't just for the wrong or bad things. It may be saying no to good things or past things. See, our past breakthrough should prepare a way for tomorrow's breakthrough, but we sometimes have to let go of that blessing that came with those breakthroughs. Sometimes the biggest barrier between us and our blessing is not the challenges, but the expectation for God to show up in the same way he did in the past season. You don't want to say yes to the new thing because the old thing was blessed by God. Well, God wouldn't ask me to walk away from that. He blessed me there. He asked me to do that thing, so I did it, and now I'm blessed. Why would I walk away? Because he's asking you to do a new thing. Because he wants to give you a new blessing. See, the only thing that God has ever asked of you is your full yes. But that yes may not be possible unless we say no to things. Ephesians 5, so be very careful how you live, not to be like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes, and don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. If you don't know how powerful your no and how powerful your yes are, and if you don't exercise them, I'm not sure your discernment is actually going to be at the point it needs to be in. Because you've already numbed yourself to not saying no, and you say yes to everything. So how can you clearly see the things that need to be seen? The need to be active and busy will actually hurt you in the long run. How many of you like to be busy? It's a trick question because most of you are like, I like to rest. How many of you know that rest is not inactivity? See, a lot of times we think rest means do nothing. I'll leave that there. If the enemy can't get me to do wrong or bad things, he'll get me overextending myself in the right things. There's a weariness that actually causes unbelief because it gives us this cynical, hardened heart. We do so many things that we actually start to resent those things. We resent the request for something more because we're already overextended. We've become accustomed to activity in the place of genuine connection. And it doesn't happen just in a moment. It's gradual. We learn to live out a routine. And in that routine of busyness, we become numb to true relationship. We allow a distance to be formed in our intimacy with God. And so what happens is we become numb and unaware and unable to actually see clearly. See, if it happened overnight, it'd be easy to spot, but it's a gradual thing. Say yes to a few things, then yes to a few more things, then yes to a few more things. The busyness leads you to just become more calloused and cynical. And even the very thing that you've been crying out to God for becomes offensive. God, I want more of you. I want to give you my life. Then do this. I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. That's not in my heart, God. You don't even know what's in your heart because you've said yes to so many things, you've forgotten what your own desires are. And so when he breathes on those things and invites you into a place where you can say yes to his desire and your own desire, you get offended because you've forgotten who you are and you have so many yeses that another yes just feels ugly. So you have permission to say no to protect your boundaries and to empower your yes. You guys are really quiet. There is a quote: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. It's for good men and women to not know what their yes is. For good men and women to be playing defensive and not actually have an offense. So what you have to decide is, will you keep your focus? Will you keep your yes in front of you as well as your no? Will you refuse to be distracted? See, what the world needs more than anything right now is for this entire room to know what their yes is. How many of you feel like you actually can say no with authority? Wow, more hands there than showed up to church the last 3 months. That's awesome. I think you guys actually like saying no. I get it. The preacher asked, so it's like, nope. How many of you would actually say you know what your yes is? It's funny. With the amount of people that I've just encountered as a Christian in the last 30 years, I'm really surprised at how many people do not know their yes. They said yes to him, and then they stopped. And they're not sure what's next. They don't have their yes. What would it be like if every person in this room knew their yes and said no to the things that prevented that yes from actually being fulfilled? If every one of us knew our yes. Sammy just, he's like, I said yes. I said, and look what God is doing. But he knew what his yes was. He also knew how to say no. You're worth saying no to people. And he's worth saying no to people. Don't let the fear of other people's response, don't let change, resistance, the feeling of inadequacy, or fear stop you. Don't let anything keep you from your yes. I am not satisfied with what I am doing in my life for God. But I also can't fill my life with a whole bunch of yeses for him and miss out on doing the yes with him. I need to stop. I need to say no more. And in my no, I need to stop and say, God, I'm saying no because I need to more clearly hear what you're asking. Because the more I say no, it's like I'm cleaning out my ears, God. Every time I say no, I'm cleaning out my ears so that I can hear what your yes is. Now, does that mean stop doing anything good and only wait until he speaks? No, that's crippling. And that's what a slave does. You only move when he speaks. But in relationship, walk out serving. We don't have to question if serving is on God's heart. Some of us don't want to serve. We want to be served. Oh, man, I should just camp there for a minute. Because that's about 3 message series in itself. Some of us have an entitlement in our lives to where we expect things to be done for us. And the sad thing is that the place that we exercise that the most is with family, friends, and relationships. And then we show up to a place like this where it should be worked like a family. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a purpose. But we want to sit on the couch and let somebody else fix dinner. Somebody go grab me a drink. Somebody fix me a plate. I don't know why I'm going here. This is not in the notes. This is to see if I can offend you, I think. Some of us have to learn to actually say yes to the things we don't want and say no to the things that are pleasing to our flesh. Could you imagine if everybody said no to their desire to sleep in and showed up to church on time? Did I say that? I'm guilty of a lot of this too. I'm just, this isn't directed towards, it's directed around. Oh no, I just thought of this. If you were to ask the five closest people in your life, what are the good and the bad things you're known for? A lot of you are like, I ain't doing that. That actually might give you a pretty good blueprint of where your yeses and nos need to actually go and what you need to change in your life. None of this was part of the message. Can I get somebody up on worship? See, I'm following God the best I can, watching what he's doing and what he's saying. Which sometimes means saying no to the people that I see are in need. Even when it feels like I probably should have stopped and helped them. It's kind of like, ooh, that person needs my help. And that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. I don't even know how I'm going to get to my car this morning. There's so many people that need help. Everybody probably needs a little help. I need help. But I don't expect everybody to stop and take care of me. It's unfair to put your needs on somebody else's yes. Some people seem afraid of confronting their own guilty feelings because they haven't found their purpose or their target, their yes. You should be able to wake up every day and looking at a target and say, that's my yes today. Anything that comes to distract me from my yes today is going to get my no. Now, there are things that will line up and come alongside that yes. That's what you say yes to that day. But if you wake up with a yes, it's easy to say no. If you wake up saying, well, let's see what today holds, good luck. You'll finish the day looking back going, did I do anything today? I took care of a whole lot of other people, but I don't know if I actually accomplished much of anything. Your target is something to aim for, something to strive towards, something that gives meaning to what you do. It's that same thing. It's like, okay, where's my yes? Nope, that's not it. Nah, not it. No, that's, there it is. It's right there. That's my yes today. If you don't have a no, if you don't have a yes, you're not waking up each day with a target in mind, what'll happen is that every need will actually take you on a guilt trip. If you live in reaction to your guilt trips, you'll begin to harden your heart. See, it's hard to say no to someone that's in need, but that's not your weight to carry. Some of you need to actually say that over you. It's not my weight to carry. It may be his desire for you to do. It may be your desire. It may be the target you had that day. I'm going to help someone today. That could be my target for the day. There is someone that needs my help today. And I feel God's yes on me saying that statement. So today, I'm helping that person. But it may be God saying, this is my target today, and no one can get in my way of that, which means I may have a lot of no's that day. And if I feel guilty about it, if I go on a guilt trip because I didn't take care of somebody else's needs, my heart will slowly begin to harden towards what the Lord's asking me, because I will want to please others rather than please him. It feels bad to worry about all the needs, but you realize you have to know your yes, because there's way more needs than you can ever satisfy. He's God, not you. Sometimes your yes to someone may be preventing his yes to them. You can hurt someone by helping them wrongly. I don't want to be responsible for preventing someone else's God intervention because it was an Eddie intervention. Because I got distracted enough to say, yeah, I'll help you. Yeah, I'll help you. Yeah, I'll help you. And God's like, man, if you could get out of the way, do you know what I could do with these people? And I'll tell you one thing. I said, you get to go on a guilt trip. The enemy is always going to offer to drive that trip. He's going to lure you into guilt all the time. The enemy would love for you to get plagued with guilt of not helping others so that he can keep you distracted on doing what God's called you to do. If your focus is more on the needs around you than it is the one who can satisfy the needs, you're out of order. This went a little heavier than I expected, which is okay sometimes. I actually feel like the yes that we're about to be invited into, some of you may already be experiencing it, but the yes that we're going to be invited into is going to require us to have a very powerful no. And some of you, while I've been speaking, have had thoughts come in your mind. It's like, oh, maybe I should say no. No, I'm not going to say no to that. You've actually determined what you're going to say no and yes to, even though the prompting of the Holy Spirit has come and given you a little taste of what you need to actually turn away from. Your words are powerful. When you say no to something and you mean it, Bible says, make your yes a yes and your no a no. When you say no and you actually mean no, you step into a level of authority that the enemy cannot shake. But when your no is a maybe, or your no is a I might be able to, but I don't know if I can, there's too much room for the enemy to come in and put you on a guilt trip. Some of us are afraid to say yes because of what it's going to require, because we know it's more than we can currently handle. And it scares us. And I'm not talking about the fear of a bad thing. I'm talking about the fear of a good thing. How many of you have dealt with that? I am afraid of what God is offering me because it's going to require a lot. But God, I don't know if I'm deserving. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know what other people will think if I do it. It's time to actually, I feel like the halftime buzzer has gone off. It's time to actually come out with a new strategy and play that game instead of the one we played last season, last half. Which means some of us, if you're sitting in this room and breathing, that's you. Some of us need to actually say, I'm going to say no to this going forward, and I'm going to say yes to this going forward. And don't make that decision based off of your immediate wants. I'd rather. Your rathers are probably wrong. Not always, but they're probably wrong. Because your rathers sit in your comfort zone or the things that please the flesh. It's time to say, I don't care what I'd rather. What are you saying, God? And I will say yes to that, and I will say no to that. Why don't you guys stand real quick? I am going to open up the altars for people to come up and actually, here's the thing. You can stand right there, not do anything outwardly, and still make the right decision. But there is often a prophetic act that releases things into our lives. And sometimes it's just the act of stepping forward and saying yes or saying no that actually empowers us. So the front will be open for you to do that. If you're feeling like I need to get out of my seat, step forward and say yes or say no, then that's what it's going to be open for. And the prayer team will be walking around and praying with people. But I want us right now, I want every one of us to make this commitment to ourselves and to God. Just close your eyes. Just say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to see what you're doing. I want to know your heart. And God, I'm going to say no to the things that you put on my heart to say no to. And I'm going to say yes to the things that you've put before me to say yes to. And God, I pray that you would be amidst this situation so that there's no offense, no hurt, and that peace would come with the right yes and the right no. And like I said, I feel like many of you knew there were things going through your mind just as I was speaking. What I want you to do is I want you, with your words, not in your head, with your words, I want you to say, God, I'm going to say no to this going forward. And I want you to say, God, I'm going to say yes to this going forward. Because there's things that you know you're supposed to say no to. Things you know you're supposed to say yes to. Every one of us has something that we can say no and yes to. Every one of us. There's nobody in here that is walking out a perfect life of yes and no right now. So all of us have something that we can say no to going forward and yes to. And I want you to just take a couple of minutes and just begin to do that out loud. And if you feel like I said, if you feel like you need to make a prophetic act of actually stepping forward, you can take a step forward into the aisle, you can come up to the front, but some of us need to actually move, almost like, God, I'm going to move far enough out of my seat to where I hear you more clearly to say yes or no, and I'm doing this prophetically so that my yes is actually seen and I'm exercising my will to say yes and to say no. Just go ahead and take a couple minutes and do that. Some of you want to whisper it because you don't want your neighbor to hear you. It's understandable, but you do need to use your voice. Your words create life and death. They give power and authority. Your words, not your thoughts, your words are what carry the authority of your yes and your no right now. I don't want to rush anybody out of this place, so stay in this place. I'm going to pray for us really quick, and then you'll be released to go if you feel you need to go, but don't rush out of this moment. Don't rush out of making the declaration to take authority over the yeses and nos of your life. Father, I just thank you for every person here, that every person's going to hear this message, God. Lord, I pray that if it is not a message that you want them to hear, that it would fall dead to the ground. But Father, if there is truth, if there's something that you want to be heard in this message, God, I pray that it would drive deep into the heart of people, God, that it would stir them to make a change in their lives, to say yes and to say no with authority. And God, I pray that whatever is coming, God, the invitation that you're about to call us into, Father, that we have the ability to say no to the things that would inhibit us to fully saying yes to you, God. And God, I break off all fear, all places of insecurity, all places of not feeling capable or worthy of such a call, that we would actually see ourselves the way you see us and that we would step into the yes that you're going to ask us, God. God, we know that you believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. So, Father, right now, I say yes to you and to your heart's desires. And God, I say no to the things that are going to distract me or dissuade me from that yes, God. I want to give you all of my yes and not a portion that's left over. So, Father, I just release grace over every person here. Grace to say yes, grace to say no, power and authority to step into the fullness of your calling on our lives, God. Father, I pray that there would be an ease in this season that was not in the last season, but it's because we've let go of the busyness and the overwhelming yeses that we've allowed in our lives. Father, I pray that there is a stepping into of good new things, God, that you're calling us to. And Father, I welcomely let go of the good things that you've done in my life if they are no longer the season I'm supposed to be in. And I say yes to the new thing that you're going to do. I just bless every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit BethelATX.com.